Where the hell are you going? Byrne shouted as Avery sprinted past. River. I'm coming with you. Negative, draw that turret's fire while I flank. Bravo, move up, Byrne shouted. Healy, get your ass out here. Avery saw the corpsman rush from the greenhouse behind the charging recruits and hustle toward Ponder, medkits in hand. The captain waved Healy off, directed him to Peterson's motionless form, then Avery charged into the tree line. Stison, report, he shouted into his mic. Taking fire, Staff Sergeant, Static distorted the 2A squad leader's voice. There, over there, he yelled to one of his men. Hang tight, Avery leapt down a rocky embankment to the garden's middle tier. I'm on my way. Avery ran as fast as he could, hurdling rocks and slaloming between cherry and pear trees. Breathing hard, he broke through the last of the blossom-heavy branches and pulled up short, thrusting his hips backward and windmilling his arms. If he'd been going any faster, he would have fallen into the river. Here, at the edge of the gardens, the Mimir had carved deep into the bifrost, creating a series of descending pools. These wide limestone cauldrons were filled with white water that grew more turbulent the closer it came to the top of the falls. As Avery regained his balance, the second dropship swooped overhead and came to rest on the other side of the nearest pool. Tracking the ship's downward progress, Avery spotted another of the large aliens, this one in red armor and with black fur, as it emerged from the magnolia trees on the garden's lowest tier. It, too, carried a bladed pistol and was using the weapon to guard the retreat of a pack of shorter, gray-skinned creatures with conical orange backpacks. Avery saw MA-5 muzzle flashes in the trees, but the red-armored alien quickly loosed a salvo of burning spikes to quiet whatever recruits had been brave enough to fight back. Avery raised his pistol and emptied his clip. He knew his rounds wouldn't punch through the alien's shields, but all he wanted was to draw the thing's attention and keep it from hitting any of the recruits. As Avery's shots flashed harmlessly against its back, the alien turned, but by then Avery was already running south for the safety of a boulder. He reloaded and slid around the stone, hoping to pick off one of the smaller aliens, but most of them were already aboard the dropship. A lone straggler was just now stumbling from the trees. One of its arms was slacked by its side, and it seemed injured. Avery was about to finish it off when the armored alien grabbed its wounded comrade by the nape of its neck, ripped off its mask, and flung it into the whirlpool. The creature sunk beneath the surface, then bobbed up, clutching at a pair of hissing tubes connected to its tank, before it pitched into the next pool and tumbled toward the falls. While this unexpected fratricide ran its course, the second dropship's ball turret finally swung into action, and Avery soon found himself diving back behind the boulder to avoid searing bolts of plasma. The splash of ionized gases against the rock set Avery's teeth on edge, but after a few seconds, the turret ceased fire. Avery heard the groan of anti-grav generators as the dropship twisted up into the sky. When he came out from behind the boulder, all the aliens were gone. Hold your fire, Avery barked as he approached the magnolias on the far side of the pool. I'm coming in. Behind him, he could hear the reports of the Bravo squad's rifles firing on the first dropship as it rose from the gardens. What happened? Avery growled at Stison as he neared a huddle of 2A recruits. The men were packed close together in a jumble of mossy granite. The rocks were dotted with holes that contained glowing remnants of the red-armored alien's igneous spikes. Little smoky fires burned in the surrounding ferns where some of the rounds had ricocheted. What happened? Avery asked again. But neither Stison nor any of his squad said a word. Most of them didn't even bother to meet Avery's gaze. Combat had filled Avery with adrenaline, and he was about to lose his temper when he realized what the recruits were looking at. It took him a moment more to recognize that the thing splayed against the granite was the savaged body of a human being. And it wasn't until Avery knelt down beside the corpse that he recognized Osmo's plump, boyish face, streaked with his own blood. The recruit was split open across his belly. I told him, stay away from the lawn. Stison swallowed hard. I didn't want him to get hurt. Avery clenched his jaw, but he knew there was no way the squad leader could have anticipated that the second dropship would swing in behind them, low above the river, and secretly release a backup team. Did you see him get hit? Avery asked. Stison shook his head. No. It was one of the little ones, Burdick whispered. His eyes remained locked on the spill of organs from Osmo's gut. It knocked him to the ground. Tore him apart. I heard his weapon fire, Stison said, but it was too late. Avery rose to his feet. Any other casualties? Again, Stison shook his head. Byrne, talk to me, Avery barked. Captain's hurt pretty bad. Bravo squads have 3 wounded, 1 serious. Das says his boys are fine. Thune? Not happy. Peterson's dead. Looked like it. We better clear out, Johnson. Bastards might circle back. Agreed. Avery lowered his voice. I'm gonna need a bag. Who? Osmo. Shite, Byrne spat. All right. I'll tell Healy. Avery removed his duty cap and wiped his hand across his brow. Staring down at Osmo, he noticed the recruit still held his MA5 tight in his right hand. The staff sergeant was glad Osmo had seen his attacker and had a chance to go down shooting. Osmo's rifle fire had alerted his comrades to danger, saving their lives, even as he lost his own. Avery tried not to blame himself for what had happened. Like Stison, he had done what he thought was best. Osmo was just the first recruit to fall. As much as Avery hoped he would also be the last, he steeled himself against the knowledge that the aliens had just begun a war, and that there would be a lot more casualties to come.